This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Packer, my partner is Wes Durham, fresh off the links. Mr. Durham, how are we doing? We all right?
We're doing well. How are you, Pack?
Outstanding. Outstanding.
Yeah?
Yep.
Yeah.
Pain-free.
All good. No problems. Good weekend. Like, yeah, yes, pain-free. Yeah, that's
good. I will tell you, Wes, I thought, not just within the ACC, but nationally, I thought it was the best weekend of college basketball. There were so many good games
in the ACC
and around the country Saturday and Sunday, which we will get into. But it was like the perfect appetizer of, hey, March is around the corner and business is picking up. And some teams that need to play well did. And some teams that you expect to play well stumbled, which leads to question marks, which leads to conversation, which is what we're going to do for the next 3 hours.
Yeah, we got a good show. We got Seth Greenberg coming up bottom of the hour. He'll join us a little earlier today, 7:30. But we still get a half hour with the coach and the ESPN analyst, Josh Pastner, an hour after that at 8:30. And in the 9 o'clock hour, Scotty Barnes, who's really been a central figure in Florida State's thrilling return, if you will. Had a big basket, of course, against Wake Forest to get the game into overtime. And then, of course, had the tremendous effort last Monday night in the game against Virginia and had a role in their victory at Pittsburgh on Saturday as well. Looking forward to talking to Scotty Barnes on today's program. And but you're talking about good weekend of basketball. And here's the thing. And we've had a lot of different things talked about the ACC and where is it and kind of how many teams and all that. But there's still going to be those games that, you know, like Duke, Carolina. Well, we had one Saturday night. Duke, Virginia, Pack, delivered. It delivered, right? I mean, might not have been the most beautiful game played. At times it was a little sloppy, a little ragged on both ends, but it was fierce. It was competitive. Big plays. And at the end of the day, we had a one-point game and an important win for Duke to stay alive in just the consideration and the talk of the NCAA tournament. Because essentially, I think for many ways, the Blue Devils NCAA tournament started Saturday night.
I've seen some sloppy, turnover-infested games. I thought this game was out of sight. In fact, I'd go as far to say I thought it was the best ACC game I've watched this year. Given what was at stake.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Given what was at stake, I thought Duke really played well. And I want to go back to about a week and a half ago when I said, what's happened to Duke's defense? Right after they gave up the back-to-back 90s, I said, whatever happened to slapping the floor, overplaying the passing lanes, getting in your grill? Well, guess what has happened over Duke? I saw slapping the floor Saturday night. I saw, you know what, Virginia, if you want a backdoor cut, take it if you're in the mood. Because you try to make a pass, it's going to get stolen. Goal line is going the other way with it. Duke is getting after people on the defensive end. And I don't want to talk about Jalen Johnson. Said last week he's got the right to make his decision. He's going down the road. So is Duke. Duke looks like they've turned a corner to me. Now, I know we've said this before. After they beat Georgia Tech and Clemson in fact, it was on a Monday.
Right.
I think Duke's turned a corner, and then they laid the egg against Miami. I think they look energized to me. They look like they're now getting the defensive part of it.
Okay.
Matthew Hurt continues to play lights out, making shots left and right. It was a humongous win for Duke. I thought it was the best ACC game that I've seen this year so far.
I think Matthew Hurt has returned his candidacy to first-team All-ACC, right? There were times where I thought he might slip off the ballot, right? But he's returned his candidacy, where he's a viable threat to make first-team All-ACC. Now, some people will say, well, where did he go? Well, there were a couple of weeks, folks, let's be honest. Fouling out of ball games early, getting in foul trouble, things like that. Matthew Hurt's candidacy is back up and running for first-team All-ACC. But I will continue to go back to what you just said, Pack. They weren't going to get better as a basketball team until they started stopping people.
Right.
Right?
Right.
I mean, they just weren't. And now they're making it tough. And good for them. And nice work from Coach K and his staff, obviously, to kind of get this re-engineered and reset a little bit. The Jalen Johnson thing has become a sidebar story to what Duke needs to do now. The more this goes in the next couple of weeks, the less the Jalen Johnson story even, you know, becomes a piece of who they are.
It's over.
Because this team has to determine whether or not they're going to keep the NCAA tournament streak alive. And in order to do it, there's some significant speculation, including Joe Lunardi, that they may have to win them all. Not in the tournament, but they may have to win them all in the rest of the regular season for sure.
Well, Duke is 56 in the net. I looked it up this morning. Duke is 56 in the net. They've got two wins against quad ones. They're 5-6 in quad one and quad two. The good news for the Blue Devils is, number one, they're playing good defense and they're playing with confidence. Number two, they have plenty of opportunities the rest of the way, which is what you want given their position. You don't want, hey, we're going to load up on four bottom feeders in the league and win those games and look at our record. And then you look deeper and you say, well, you haven't been great in quad one. You haven't been great in quad two, because those are going to be really the two most important aspects here. So the good news for Duke is, hey, you're playing your best basketball. Jalen Johnson is no longer news. Right. It's the rearview mirror. Everybody's going down the road. And Duke has responded. I just like the way they're playing defense. And I barked 2 weeks ago going, hey, this isn't Duke basketball, man. I don't want to watch a Duke game and it's 92-89. That is not Duke basketball. Duke basketball was Saturday night. You know what that is? We are going to create some offense off defense. They got in Virginia's grill. I thought both teams shot over 50%. It was a thoroughly entertaining game. It was back and forth in the second half. You had no earthly idea who was going to win the game at the last TV timeout. Virginia trying to get over the hex, which has become Duke basketball. Tony Bennett, for whatever reason, as great as he is, Coach K has been a problem. Now, keep in mind, Coach K has been a problem for just about everybody who's ever coached. But that has been a bugaboo for Virginia, is trying to beat Coach K and Duke. We've watched a lot of ACC games this year. When I say this is a vintage year of ACC hoops, it is not. But this, I thought, was the best game of the year in the league. Incredibly competitive, terrific defense, teams making shots, and a lot at stake for different reasons. You know, Virginia coming off the loss to Florida State, trying to say, hey, all right, that was just one night. They had a tough week. But these numbers don't lie now. These numbers do not lie.
Wow. Tony Bennett, 2-7 against Duke, 5-6 against Florida State.
That's ranked Virginia.
Carolina fans know all too well that they're 8-5 against Carolina.
No. The key, though, Wes, is ranked Virginia teams. That's not like, hey, we're having a down year, so we got swept and our record isn't great.
Sure.
No, this is when Virginia's good.
Right.
When there's a number beside your name, those are the numbers. So 2-7 against Duke, and there's a number beside your name, that tells you something. So Virginia's got some work to do, and Florida State had a smile watching that, because all that meant was, hey, you know what? We woodshedded you Monday, and now we're the team to beat. So, hey, every week we keep telling you it's fluid. That's why we do accounting and numbers and teams move all over the place. Nothing seems to stay the same.
By the way, the Duke-Virginia game was the only game that our friends at BPI did not accurately predict.
What did we say Friday? The best
now
news.
Now, remember, of course, BPI never really misses a game.
Nonsense.
But they got 5 of the 6 ACC games.
Yeah,
right.
But guess what? The other 5 we didn't care about. You know what? That was the game. That was the headliner game, right? That was the headliner game.
Yes.
I mean, hey, glad you got Florida State beat Pitt. You know what? Chester and Fuller at 100% picking those games. BPI's at 71%. The game that mattered was the headline. The headliner was Duke and Virginia. And BPI, the L is silent, apparently, in BPI.
Okay. Just want to make sure you got BPI there, love.
Hey, let me tell you something. Here are my notes for the show today. All right. Here are my notes for the show today. If you go right over here in this corner right here.
Got it.
BPI, UVA, 63%. Right there. It was on the show notes for me. Believe me, it was noted Saturday night. Watching that game.
All right. Let's go to Chapel Hill. Prior to Duke, Virginia, Louisville returned to ACC play.
Did they? Did Louisville actually return to play? Is that how you're going to describe that? You want to be transparent?
99-54. the final.
You want to be transparent?
Sir.
I thought Louisville was awful again. I mean, is there anybody in the country been worse than Louisville coming off a COVID pause? They lost at Wisconsin by 37, and they lost at North Carolina by 45. Now, I know.
It's got 82 combined, coach.
That's ugly is what that is. So Louisville's got to get back in the flow of playing again. They got to get everybody healthy. Good news, Malik Williams was there. Saw him with my own eyes. That is the good news.
Yep.
The bad news is Louisville still can't make a three, and that was about as ugly a game as you would want to watch unless you loved Carolina Blue. That was an ugly basketball game. You got beat by 45.
And 1 for 16 from three.
Can't make a three. Just said it. Got to make threes. It's a problem. Got to get back in the flow of playing the game. And Louisville's capable of doing it.
Okay. All right. Monday check here. Concerned about Virginia? Not really. I'm not. Are you concerned about Virginia?
I'm concerned about Virginia as far as beating teams of note. Yeah. I mean, hey, they had two opportunities and went 0-for last week. Woodshed and lost a tough one to a Duke team that was motivated. We talked about them 1-3 against ranked teams. That, you know, when you start talking about Virginia, I'm not worried about Virginia in the tournament, Virginia in the ACC. They're going to be just fine. But Virginia, as far as a deep run in the tournament, when they've played quality competition this particular year, their numbers are not great, Wes. They're not. Let's be honest.
Okay.
Right? So that is my concern.
Louisville, 6-4 in the league, 11-5 overall. The net this morning is 53. Concerned?
Yeah, I'm concerned. I mean, the three is an issue. Malik Williams getting back to basketball form has to happen. They got to stay COVID-free.
Right.
I mean, we've just seen too many teams go on a pause and just really struggle after the fact. Wes, it's February 22nd. Do you believe in miracles 41 years ago? Hey, do you believe in miracles that teams can turn this thing around and kind of find it ASAP? It's taken some teams weeks to kind of get their legs. So that is my concern with Louisville. Yeah. And when they're completely healthy, and now that Malik Williams is back, I like their team. But they got to get to that spot again.
Okay, there are, and you noted this, there are 9 teams in the top 56 of the net this morning. 9. Virginia 9, Florida State 12. Then it goes to Virginia Tech. Carolina is 34.
Virginia Tech 36.
Virginia Tech 36. Clemson 38. Then 47 is Syracuse.
Right.
Right.
Tech 51.
51 is Georgia Tech.
Louisville 53.
Josh Pastner coming up on this show, by the way. 53 Louisville, 56 Duke.
You know what the problem, though, is?
Remember when I said.
Here, let me tell you that, Wes. The problem with Louisville with that number one, 53 is not a great number that you want to be in the net. Here's another problem. Mm-hmm. Zero is a problem. That's the number of wins against quad one teams. Zero. Syracuse and Louisville have a zero. Zero. That's a problem February 22nd.
Here's the thing. We said the NCAA tournament has probably already started for Duke. Win to get in type thing.
No question.
Clearly, it's underway for Georgia Tech, and I think it is, and I know Cardinal fans don't want to hear this. I think in some ways it's underway for Louisville, Tupac.
No doubt. Hey, you can't go 0-for. You can't sit there and go, well, we lost by 45. We'll get them tomorrow. that wasn't like Virginia losing by one, right? Yeah. It could have gone either way. That wasn't a, hey, we're in the game, and we don't let that thing get away. We lost by 8. You got beat by 40. Yeah. Five and just got. I mean, that was just a total. Yeah. Hey, do we get a little something for the effort? Not much. I mean, there is work to be done in the Commonwealth. So I put on Twitter Saturday night watching that. The great news about that game is the greatest bourbon in the world is produced in the Commonwealth, and there's an abundance of it, and it could be used when you watch your team get beat by 45.
Wow.
Oof.
And double down for the old Cardinal fans on Saturday because not only did they lose, but the rival won upset game.
Yeah, I'm not worried about them. Kentucky, listen, Cardinal fan, Kentucky's still 0-4 in the ACC. That's what they are.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah. The NITs. Right. NIT can't wait to see them.
We will continue our coverage of the weekend on the men's card. Seth Greenberg coming up bottom of the hour. When we come back, the Orange stage a comeback.
Saw it.
To beat Notre Dame. And Florida State, by the way, picks up a road win at pesky Pittsburgh. Try saying that a few times on a Monday morning early. Jim Boeheim looks good with that towel, you know, stapled up to the top of his pullover there. Back after this.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, it is a Monday. Lots to talk about. The mighty Blue Devils, according to Robin, are about ready to make a move. Louisville's got some work to do. Virginia's scratching their heads.
Slapping floors, overplaying the passing lanes.
Slapped the floor Saturday night. I came off the couch. This is the same team that couldn't guard me 2 weeks ago, giving up 90-something to Notre Dame and North Carolina. They slapped the floor.
They were slapping the floor.
Let me tell you, Wes. When they slap the floor, I do not believe I don't believe Virginia scored again. Look at that. Boom.
Oh, here we go. Jordan Goldwire.
I loved all that. When you start slapping the floor, and everybody's copied Duke. Duke started all this. I don't think Virginia scored again.
The last 14 to slap the floor, I think, Cameron was Danny Green. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh.
Was that a little too quick?
Look at the light blue jokes. We weren't talking about Carolina there, Mr. Durham. That was a dark blue. That was a dark blue conversation.
I'm kidding.
Hey, you love social media. All you social media idiots, you jump all over that line right there. Danny Green slapping the floor. All I know is when Duke starts playing D like that, they are dialed in. That's what I've been talking about.
Okay, so they're dialed back in. Now let's talk about getting dialed back in. Duke dialed back in. Carolina, dial back in, Pack? Yes.
Louisville, Wes. I told you, North Carolina.
All right, you got to see Carolina win against Marquette this week on Wednesday night?
North Carolina's in. Marquette's not going to do you any good. Marquette's like 99 in the net or something. Marquette's sub 500. Good, they're playing again. North Carolina's doing this. I'm not worried about North Carolina. I'm not worried about the Heels. Freshmen are playing well. They got the best bigs.
All right.
I'm not worried about Carolina.
Okay, halftime Saturday, 2 o'clock game up there at the Dome in Central New York.
Watched every second of it.
Didn't look very good, did it? For the old home taters.
No, it was so bad. I did not even send a note to Macri because I knew he had already thrown something against the screen watching the Orange against the Irish. In fact, with about 13, 14 minutes to go in the game, they're down 20. Down 20, and you're thinking. Yeah. Boy, yeah. I really was tempted to walk the dogs. I mean, I really was, because Notre Dame was just having fun, making shots. Syracuse looked totally disinterested. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, old Buddy Boeheim, our buddy of the friend of the show now, started making everything he looked at.
Yeah, he was.
He made everything he looked at. And, man, what a comeback for the ages this was.
All right, look, down 19 in the first half, late. They break ahead on a big run in the second half. They trailed 55-35 with 17 minutes left to go. Outscored Notre Dame 40-12. 40-12. Yeah. Syracuse dialing it back in. Buddy Boeheim a big key. Alan Griffin a big key. Marek Dolezal clearly benefiting from being on this show last week. 18 points. There you go.
Yeah, Louisville watched
tournament this tournament starts today for Syracuse.
No question. But Louisville watched some of this game in the second half and said, hold my bourbon. And then they went out and showed you what they had against Carolina. But Notre Dame, Wes, I mean, hey, they had a 17-point lead second half at Georgia Tech? Lost. 20-point lead at Syracuse Saturday on the road? Lost.
Right.
Notre Dame will look back, and they've been playing good basketball. They're going to look back at those two games in February and go, son of a gun. What happened?
Yeah.
But what a humongous reach-down deep moment it was for Syracuse, because that was shaping up to be an ugly L. And now all of a sudden, you find it. Buddy Boeheim, like you said, making shots left and right. Quick turnaround 48 hours later, and tonight Duke's going to be slapping the floor in one end. Syracuse hopes to figure out their road woes, taking that thing to Cameron Indoor. It's a big game tonight for both of these teams.
Tell me how that game is tonight. Game is ready to ride tonight.
What's BPI? Do we know what a BPI number is on that Syracuse-Duke game?
Boy.
We got a BPI number on that?
Oh, boy.
Duke, 60%.
There it is, 60.5.
Boy, Syracuse loves that number.
Mm.
Ooh, does Syracuse lick their chops with that number? I'm going to write that down in ink. That'll be brought up tomorrow.
Yeah, get that on the paper. We'll want to ask Greenberg about that.
Five Duke BPI.
That's right.
I'm going to write that one down right now in case I forget it. Duke BPI, all right?
40 minutes. Hey, let me ask you this. Just like Kansas City Bomber Raquel Welch, a loser leaves town tonight. Loser leaves town. Loser leaves the tournament.
I remember being a young lad seeing that in the theater. That was good stuff. Raquel Welch.
That was a great movie.
Oh,
yeah. Academy is this Award loser movie. Leaves town? Loser leaves the tournament tonight?
No, but Duke has to win out. I think Duke's got to win out. Listen, they put themselves in a tough spot. And Syracuse has a zero in the quad one department. So, I mean, they're going to eventually get over that hump at some point in time. They got to get over the hump of playing well on the road. Right, this is not going to NC State and finding a W. You're going to go play Duke that's excited with what they're doing. So this is a critical game. This is not a hey, you lose and you're out yet, but it is a really, really important game for both.
Okay. Do we get the Orange Insider, Josh Macri, to help us recap this game tomorrow?
I sent Macri a note when the Cuse went on a run. I was like, dude, are you watching your boys right now? This is a comeback for the ages. They were not only were they down 20, Wes, they won by 8. I mean, let that marinate a second. That wasn't like we're down 20. And
I was listening to Matt Park and Jim Sadlin on. I was listening to Matt Park and Jim Sadlin on the satellite radio.
Yeah,
this
wasn't West Virginia, Texas. Hey, we're down 19 and found a way to win by 1. No, we're down 20 and won by 8 going away. Man, that was awesome 15 minutes of basketball.
All right. Let's wrap this segment by taking you to the Peterson Events Center Saturday. Florida State led pretty much the whole ball game. Never led by more than 11, which might have surprised some. By the way, MJ Walker was scoreless. Their leading scorer was scoreless. Raekwon Gray picked up the slack, though, with 16, 8, and 2, as you see. Justin Champagne was fantastic for Pittsburgh, but not enough steam in the engine for Jeff Capel's team, who falls to 5-8 in the league and 9-9 overall. And the win, combined with the Virginia loss, going by winning percentage, Florida State is your new leader in the ACC.
And right now they're playing better than everybody else. They are. Champagne, who I think is going to be your ACC Player of the Year as we sit here on February 22nd, 21-10. The fact that MJ Walker, and I know he got nicked up during the week with the ankle and so forth, and that obviously had to have some effect.
Right.
The fact that he went scoreless and Florida State still did their thing tells you everything you need to know about the Noles. That MJ Walker still found ways to contribute, defensive and assists, everything else. But they've got so many guys, right? It's just next man up. Somebody's down, no problem. Next guy, let's go. Again, we'll talk to Scotty Barnes later in the show. But Florida State is really right now playing with supreme confidence. Their win against Virginia kind of set the tone, I think, for the rest of this year where Virginia realizes, hey, you know what? We're good. But, boy, those guys, well, we may have to see those guys again. But Florida State's just doing their thing. And for Pitt, Wes, 7 of 8 they've lost, and we were – at least let me speak for myself here. I was really high on Pitt, really was, about a month ago. And they just have kind of hit the wall and really never responded. The only win was a win against Virginia Tech at home. Go figure, right? I mean, they've given you 26-point losses at home to Notre Dame, but they did beat Virginia Tech with that one win in the last 8. So they have really – really struggled coming down the stretch. But Justin Champagne is still the real deal.
All right, more to come on basketball over the weekend with Seth Greenberg coming up. Don't forget Wednesday right here on ACC Network. We've got triple header, 3 of them coming for you. We'll kick it off at 4:30 in the afternoon. How about that? Jay Alter, Malcolm Huckabee will have Clemson at Wake Forest. Then it's 6:30. Mike Cousins and Jordan Cornett have NC State at number 7, Virginia. And then the 8:30 nightcap, number 16, Florida State on the road at Miami with Mike Monaco and Dan Bonner right here on ACC Network, streaming live on that ESPN app. When we come back, Seth Greenberg knows what happens when the Blue Devils start slapping the floor. And did you see the jackets on Saturday? Georgia Tech's largest margin of victory in an ACC road game since dirt. Greenberg is next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. 844-SAY-ACCN. We've got a ton of stuff to cover. It's a great weekend. Upsets on the women's side. Oh, yeah. We'll get to more games on the men's side. Baseball got underway. That was beautiful. We got swimming championships won. We got a little bit of everything, man. Well, we got you covered between now and 10 a.m. And I'll tell you who else got you covered. Our next guest. He's normally 8 a.m. sharp, but he's got so much to do that we decided to push him up a half an hour. The coach, Seth Greenberg, joins us from the Winter Wonderland, which is Connecticut. Coach, good morning. How are you?
Doing great. Let's put it up. Speak honestly. I mean, Scotty Barnes is a little bit more important to me. I understand that the dude can make buckets, block shots, and you know, especially at the end of the games, make plays. So I understand that I can make a play at any time, but Scotty Barnes is really good at the end of games.
Now, he'll be good at the end of this show because that's when you'll be able to watch him during the Power Hour. I mentioned to Wes leading off, not only just within the ACC but nationwide. And I know March begins next week, but, man, I thought this past weekend, overall in college hoops, there were so many good, great, close games. Pick a league, and it gave you at least a game, at least one, that you went. Now, that was entertainment. And whether it be the ACC, the Big Ten yesterday, the West Virginia-Texas game in the Big 12, I mean, college hoops delivered this weekend. It was really good.
This is the time of the year that everyone kind of takes a step forward or kind of eliminates themselves. You have those dog days of February, but the last week of February, things change. Teams' identities are established. The kids can see the finish line, especially this year they can see the finish line. I think the energy level raises. And look, we had incredible matchups. You know, you had great matchups in the ACC. Obviously, the Duke-Virginia game was a high-level game, and shocking that Duke played at such a high level. So unselfishly, so with such great purpose, improved defensively. But, I mean, the Michigan State-Ohio State game was at a different level of all the games I watched all weekend. In terms of drama, obviously Texas and West Virginia, the comeback of West Virginia, the meltdown of the Texas bench was something you have to look at moving forward. You know, how will they kind of resolve that situation? You can't have two players as good as Courtney Ramey and Andrew Jones going at each other and expect to win games that you need to win at the end of a game, especially, and play at a high level. They got to bring those kids together and kind of have a resolution. But this is the time of the year that everything gets kicked up a notch.
Seth, Pack started out by saying when the Blue Devils start slapping the floor and overplaying the passing lanes, Duke is back. Is it that simple?
No, it's not that simple. I mean, that's kind of a symbolism. It's of what it's all about. But, yeah, you know, all that basically says we're all bought in. We're all in this thing together. And that's great. You could also slap the floor and get your ass kicked. But, you know, I mean, but right now they're a better defensive team. They got five guys that are all committed defensively. Obviously, you know, you've got guys that can guard the ball. They kept the ball to the lane. They defended the three better. They did a really nice job. Overall, on Huff, they tried to make Kihei Clark a scorer. And then on the other end, they could have slapped the floor also because they shared the basketball. They made the extra pass. They played through Matthew Hurt. They had different guys step up. Brakefield was terrific. DJ Stewart is continuing to play well. Roche is getting better. So I think there's a lot of things that are going on. But more importantly, they look like a more connected, more committed team. You know what? That wasn't NC State, who's a good team. That wasn't Wake Forest, who played Florida State to the bitter end. That was Virginia, a team that was going to test their discipline, test their toughness, test their willingness to defend for long periods of time. And they were the better team. I thought that was the best offense they ran. I thought more guys got involved. And, you know, it was a huge step forward. It doesn't put them in the NCAA tournament, but it puts them in the conversation.
Right.
Let me go.
That's the other part about this. We have gotten into this little routine. What did they give you? They gave you a sliver of hope. They've been added to the back end of the conversation. They're essentially starting the NCAA. They play another tournament game tonight, Seth, against Syracuse. The way I look at it, you're playing another game tonight. You got to win, right?
It's 100% this time of the year when you're on the bubble. Not that I have any experience. You can't have a bad loss, and you've got to have good wins. I mean, that's just really what it comes down to. I mean, you can't have a bad loss. I don't think Syracuse would be a bad loss, but for them, where their resume is, it's a bad loss. Number one, it's going to be a game against another team that's in a similar situation that needs a win against a quality opponent or can't have a bad loss. They have opportunities. They have dwindling opportunities, though. And I think the best thing to happen to Duke besides winning was North Carolina playing the way it played, to keep their hopes alive, to keep their situation where they're, they're a tournament team. But they've got to win a bunch of games, and they can't have a bad loss. They just can't have one. Look, they played three games in a row, and each and every game, the last three, they've gotten better. They've gotten better. They've played better. And that's a positive. They've gotten the right guys contributing. Defensively significant. I mean, you watch them defensively, they're actually impacting the game on the defensive end, which is, you know, gives you a chance to win. So it'll be interesting to watching them. Anyone can do it one game, two games, three games. Can you do it every single night? We're used to seeing Duke do it every single night. They have not done it this year every single night, but they look like a much more connected team.
There is no question. You're not slapping the floor when you're giving up 90-something to North Carolina and Notre Dame. The last three games have been more like what I expected to see from a Duke basketball team. Flip side, though, is this, Seth. Virginia had an interesting week, right? Monday night, they go play Florida State, who's really talented. Noles were waiting on them. Woodshed job. You had all week to sit there and listen to it and go, okay, we're going to get better. I thought Virginia played all right Saturday night. But, you know, Duke made one more play to win the game. So now you take inventory on Virginia. Well-coached, good team, won a bunch of games. However, against the really, really good teams, they don't have a great record. So what do you make of the Hoos as we kind of go from February into March?
They're an if right now for me in terms of a team that can get to this, you know, deep into the NCAA tournament. They struggle against Lev. They struggle when you make Kihei Clark score. They struggle when the game gets a little more physical and people have pushed them out. I thought they got really stagnant offensively. Really stagnant offensively. Whether it was move or blocker or whether there's their read-react stuff. I thought they stood around and watched a lot. I thought that Duke's game plan was pretty good. Overall, Duke stayed home on Huff and Hauser, which is the way you need to play them. I mean, they got three dudes that are shooting well over 40% from the three-point line, and Murphy and Hauser and Huff. Right, you got to take them out, and so you're not going to let those three guys beat you. You've got to make someone else beat you. I thought Casey Morcell, because Duke was up in interim, he played more minutes, but I thought that his decision making wasn't great. In fact, I was surprised he played that many minutes in terms of. But they needed a guy. When people are up and underneath you, you've got to move them, space them, and drive them. And Morcell can do that. He just, he struggled a little bit. So I'm not totally down on Virginia. I did not think they were as tough and as competitive as I would have liked them to be. I think that's one of the things that concerns me. And I thought that their ball movement and people movement were not crisp. The switching that Florida State did, the switching that Duke did, took them out some. It took them out some. It pushed them out a step further and made them stand. So that's something that Tony will address, whether it's brush blocks, go screens, slips. But they have to move and get better movement, more cutting maybe, less screening if they're going to get to that next level. So, they're a terrific team, but this past week, they did not play good basketball. So I don't think they played well. I mean, if you look at it, I thought they handled the switching poorly. I thought their lack of toughness was exposed a little bit. And when Kihei Clark leads you in shot attempts, that's not a good thing if you're Virginia.
By the way, Syracuse and Duke is tonight at Cameron. 7 years ago to the day, Coach Greenberg,
the jacket.
That Coach Boeheim left early. He left early, yeah. Left early at Cameron on the world-famous C.J. Fair block charge call.
There it goes. That's a hey, and I just want to let you know, I know the guy that makes that jacket where he gets his clothes. That's an expensive jacket.
He can handle it.
I mean, yeah. Just throw that out anywhere. I mean, you know, he's not. It doesn't look great on Jim, but he wears the good stuff now.
Yeah, he does. That's right. Yeah.
I mean, but that's a good rant. I mean, as rants go, not that I would know anything about rants, but as rants go, that's a you know. He got more out of it getting run from Cameron than I did. I kind of went semi-peaceful.
I think that rant can only be aired on Sirius XM, I believe, based on the lips I just read there. I think that's only a Sirius XM rant right there.
How about the comeback they had?
Tony Green. Ball?
Crazy.
Yeah. Tony Green, not a big man to start with, and he was 3 to 5 pounds lighter after that chewing he just got from Boeheim on the coach's way out the door there. So there you go. All right. We're going to step aside here. Carolina beat Louisville by 45. Georgia Tech beat Miami by 27. One was a record breaker. We will talk about that and more with Seth Greenberg here for the whole half hour as we work our way to 8 o'clock on the Atlantic Coast Conference Television Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. A little dog walking music. Jake would like to, I tell you, if Jake comes hanging out with Chester and Fuller, this is what we're listening to, a little AC/DC at 2:30 in the morning. Get your day started. That's what I'm talking about. We slap the pavement at 2:30 in the morning. Coach K style. We go right down with the hounds. All fours down. Slap the pavement. Let's go. We're walking. Little AC/DC. Angus Young and the boys. Let's do it. All right, I'm fired up. Let's go. The one thing I learned in the first segment with you is you can slap the floor and get your butt kicked. That's what I learned from Seth Greenberg in the first segment. Hey, did you see?
False hustle.
That's it. That's right. Did this comeback that Syracuse had against Notre Dame last year, they might have played the best, craziest games you'd ever want to watch. Syracuse, Notre Dame, they're great games. I'm trying to hold on watching this game with one eye open because, I mean, Notre Dame is putting me to sleep because this game's over. Where did it come from, Seth? Because that was one of those comebacks where it just couldn't look like, hey, Syracuse just doesn't have it. Notre Dame's going to get another good win. They're shooting the ball. And all next thing you know, Buddy Boeheim's making shots from everywhere. And they got on a run and never looked back with a 40-12 closure to knock off the Irish.
I got to be honest with you. We switched channels.
Right,
Kevin Connors is in the studio. He's the biggest Syracuse fan there is. I mean, like, in crazy Syracuse fan. And he basically asked them to switch the screen because he says, I can't watch this anymore. And you're right. Buddy got it going. Dolger got it going a little bit. This kid, Dolger, you know, like, we joke with Kevin. He's one of the most underappreciated players on their team.
No question.
He just makes plays happen. I mean, the guy rebounds, defends. He's overmatched in terms of strength, but he does some interesting things. Syracuse, look, they've won three in a row. Now, they've got to beat some teams that are in the tournament, but they've won three in a row. This is the second game that Notre Dame has had a meltdown and just not been able to finish, which is so surprising for Mike Bray's teams because the one thing we know is they don't turn it over. I mean, Notre Dame is not a team that turns it over a bunch, and yet they've lost two games where they've let people come back in the games. This game for Syracuse and Duke are big games today. It's a big game today. I mean, it really is. And, you know, you don't know how it's going to respond. Obviously, you know, with the comments of Jim this past weekend, which I thought, quite honestly, were more harmless than anything else. I mean, he was trying to compliment how well Duke was playing. He probably should have left out mentioning Jalen Johnson's name. But, you know, you're in it. You know, you guys have done it. I'm sure Wes, you probably hosted coaches' shows. Hey, you know, you got a big week this week. You got Notre Dame and you got Duke. Duke's without Jalen Johnson. How different are they?
Yep.
And then Jim answers the question. So, I mean,
right.
This will be an interesting game. I mean, Syracuse has guys that can make plays. Buddy got hit by the virus and lost his legs for a long period of time. When he gets his legs back, I'm telling you, that kid is a big time, not just a shooter, he's a very good player. I think that, you know, Richmond changes them because he gets some deflections. You got Griffin, who has a toughness about him, which is pretty special. Dolje is a tough matchup. This will be an interesting game to watch tonight.
All right. I want to switch gears to Chapel Hill here. Carolina, now Louisville coming off the pause. Twice they've come off the pause. They've lost by a combined, what did we say, Pac? 82 points?
82.
Is that right?
That's correct.
82. Wisconsin and now North Carolina. So let's sidecar Louisville for a moment. And Pac, you said Carolina continues to ascend. Seth, is that fair? You like that analogy? Carolina just kind of keeps getting better and better, it seems like.
I don't think you said that after the Virginia game, but I agree with you. And here's the deal. The smartest thing that Roy did, and I thought it was brilliant, is schedule that game between Virginia and Louisville. Basically, you flush out that Virginia loss. You get your guys feeling better about themselves. It's better than any practice you could have had prior to playing Louisville,
right?
Because it was game competition, game speed. You got a lot of guys in the game. You got your running game going. I think they're improving defensively. The front court right now is playing with much more confidence. So I think it was brilliant what Roy did, having that layoff, saying, you know, we got to play a game. You know, we don't need another practice. We got to play a game. Playing that game in the manner in which they played that game, if you watch, they played a very similar way that they played against Louisville. They got out in transition.
Right.
They shared the ball. They made shots. They were more active defensively. They did some things defensively in the Northeastern game that now they're starting to do more in terms of getting a little bit more scramble, making the offense react to them. So, you know, I look at that. I say that's a veteran coach saying, you know what, we've only had six home games. We need to play. We need to flush this game out. And I thought it was a brilliant move by Roy, and I think it's going to pay huge dividends moving forward.
Boy, there's so many different places we can go here. Louisville, the fact that Malik Williams is back is great news, right? Yeah. I mean, that's really been a missing piece. But that performance Saturday, and you knew, listen, after COVID, you just don't know, right? And when it's not good, it's really been bad. And it was bad Saturday. Not anything away from North Carolina. Dominated, kicked their rear ends, the whole routine. But I just hope Louisville can get their legs back before March, Seth, because, you know, the guards are good, even though they're still having a hard time making threes. That's been a consistent problem. But Malik Williams, that piece of the puzzle being back, and he'll only get better. I'm still high on Louisville, but, man, you can't go 2 weeks and stink it up like we saw Clemson when they came back and couldn't play dead in a cowboy movie. Louisville's going to have to show me something come down the stretch.
Well, Louisville's got to show everyone something because they're not a tournament team right now.
Yeah,
I mean, if you think about it, who are their wins? Their best win is Virginia Tech. They got Kentucky. They got Seton Hall's a bubble team. Western Kentucky will be a tournament team, and they play a game this week that they just scheduled. And then Duke. So, I mean, like to me, you look at who's another question team. So you look at this Louisville team, and, like, you're going, what do they really have? I mean, you know, what makes them an 8 seed? I look at it and say, I think they're hanging on a thread. They've got to win games. Now, Malik Williams, I think, drastically changes it. He's the best ball screen defender maybe in the ACC. He can step out and shoot it a little bit. He's an anchor of their defense in terms of a rim protector. But, you know, in talking to Dino Gaudio, I mean, their team got really hit by the virus. There's a difference between contact tracing and pause and being hit by the virus. When you're hit by the virus, number one, it's 4 or 5 more days because you got to go through your echo and do all that stuff in terms of your heart health. And it is absolute flat shut down. Contact tracing, there's some things you can do. When you get hit by the virus, you can't do it. And, you know, you look at them. For them to win, great that Malik is back, and I think he makes a huge difference. They got 3 guys that got to play at the level we all expect them to play at. And that, obviously, that's Jones, that's Johnson, and that's Samuel Williamson. Right? Like, those 3 guys are really good players. Right? And if they're consistent and play well, and you add Malik Williams to the mix, they are really a dangerous team. You know, but they caught Carolina on a bad night, so I'm not going to overreact. And you're going to have one of those games, especially with Carolina starting to play a little bit better, playing faster, getting more easy baskets. And, you know, Carolina has guys that can wear you down. Their front court can flat wear you down. So if Love plays well and Kerwin Walton's knocking down jumpers, which I said a month ago, he changes them. The decision to put him in the lineup changes them because he opens up the floor. You have to at least understand, hey, there's Kerwin Walton. I've got to stay attached to him because he can knock down a three, which opens up driving lanes and it opens up post-to-post passing. So I think Louisville is in danger at times. They've got to show improvement. They've got to play well because they need wins against the field.
All right. Louisville is 53 this morning in the net. Georgia Tech is 51 and just beat Miami by 27. They have Duke at home. They are supposed to play Virginia Tech tomorrow night in Blacksburg. It sounds like the Jackets have a huge game tomorrow night that could potentially determine their postseason fate.
Yeah, and Virginia Tech coming off a pause. I mean, you know, you look at Georgia Tech. Here's the thing that's hurt Georgia Tech. It's simple. It's Mercer and Georgia State. You know, how the committee's going to look at those two games, because the rest of their resume, pretty good. They've got some good wins. You know, they don't have terrible losses. The Miami game does nothing for them. Like, with them being Miami by 20 and being up third, that does nothing for them. You got to understand, those games don't do anything for your resume. You've just got to survive those games. The games that count are the Virginia Techs when you play Carolina.
Right.
You know, if you can steal a road game against a team that could potentially be a quad one win, those are the games that count. The problem with the league is, and, you know, look, there's just not opportunities. The league doesn't have that many locks, all right? Florida State's a lock. Virginia Tech now is a lock. Yeah. Right? But when you go through the league, Carolina's turning into a lock. But you go through the league, it's not like this year, the Big Ten or the Big 12, where you're going to go bop, 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 bop. I got four in a row, man. If I win two of those, you know, I'm back in the conversation. If I lose them and they're on the road, it doesn't hurt me. No. You either have a game that helps you or hurts you. And that's what Georgia Tech has to do right now. They can't afford another bad loss. It's that plain and simple. They couldn't afford to lose to Miami. That game would have crushed them. They would have had three losses for teams outside the top 100. I mean, it would have been – they got two losses against teams in the 300s. So, I mean, how the committee looks at those early games, they're playing better basketball. The backcourt's playing with greater maturity. You know, if they get that backcourt making shots, Mo's Wright's going to play. I mean, that dude's consistent. That's one of the great – I think one of the great stories in the ACC over the last 2 years. Watching his development.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
Man, I'll tell you one thing. It's fun. That's what coaching's about. Seeing a kid come in as an if and end up a really, really winning, competitive, productive player. Man, that's fun to watch.
All right. There you go, Pac. We're all up to date.
I learned one thing. You slap the floor does not guarantee a W. No guarantees, even if you slap the floor.
Yeah, they slap the floor. You know, that's symbolism. That's great. That's back in the day. You know. Now, here's the deal. When Wojo slapped the floor with that team, you were in pretty good shape. You slap the floor with this team, maybe. We'll see what happens.
Hey, 1-0. We're 1-0 slapping the floor, Seth. I saw it Saturday
night. Hey, Wes.
Night.
Wes, before tomorrow's show, I want you to walk in, slap the floor, and say, all right, Pac, I'm ready to go. We got this one.
I do it every morning on this show. 326 times we've done that. Slap the floor for it. Right here in the basement.
Hey, Seth, I just want to tell you, yesterday at Rising Fawn, Georgia, about 10:20 yesterday morning, I slapped the first tee and put a peg in the ground and played golf. That's all you need to know, isn't it?
You see, you just rub it in. Yeah, you just rub it in.
That's it. I just did.
I'm looking at it right
You're welcome.
Now. I went this morning and had the big bag.
I gotta go. We gotta go. We can't get the update. We gotta go. We gotta go.
Sorry. Driveway.
Hour two coming up, Coach. Coach, I'll send you all the pictures. You'll love it. Stay tuned. Hour two coming up, including Josh Pastner. Best and worst of the weekend. Greenberg already cut us off, Pac. How about that? Back after this on Packer and Durham.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.